Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. We're so glad that you tuned in today because we wish to begin a new series of studies which we are going to entitle The I Ams of John's Gospel. Perhaps some of you who have tuned in this broadcast regularly will remember that some time ago we took up the seven views of the Lord from John's Gospel, that is, views that were prefaced by the Lord himself with his title, I Am. That's his divine title. He is the great I Am, and we studied at that time, I am the bread of life, the Lord is the speaker, I am the light of the world, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, and I am the true vine. Now the Lord chose those figures, those metaphors, to develop our thoughts and to concentrate our thoughts upon him in his various relationships with us. Now, in this study that we're going to take up, the Lord uses his divine title some 25 times in the Gospel according to St. John, and he reveals himself to us in so many other different ways, not by metaphors, not by figures. We have to determine from the text what the Lord is trying to show us to deepen our appreciation of his divine title, I Am. Now, in the four Gospels, Matthew presents our Lord Jesus Christ as the coming King. Mark presents him as the perfect servant. Luke presents him as the Son of Man, and John presents him as the Son of God. Now, in the Matthew's Gospel, the genealogy that is recorded there only goes back to Abraham. We read in Matthew 1 and 1, this is the first verse of the New Testament, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, Abraham was promised a wonderful, wonderful seed. We're going to read about it in a few moments. David was promised that a king would reign upon his throne, and God keeps his promises. Now, in Genesis chapter 22, God asked Abraham to do something that tested his faith to the full. He asked him to go to the land of Moriah and offer his son Isaac up as a burnt offering on the altar. Abraham went. God had told him to do it. Now, we know that Abraham did not have to go through that terrible ordeal. There was a ram caught in the thicket that was offered in Isaac's place. But God was so pleased that Abraham would obey him. We read in verse 15 of the 22nd chapter of Genesis, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now the Apostle Paul develops this last verse in the third chapter of Galatians, and I want you to understand, I want you to just see how meticulously accurate the scripture really is. Paul says there in the 16th verse of the third chapter of Galatians, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, he saith not, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, singular, which is Christ. Now, Matthew and his genealogy only goes back to Abraham. Now, in Mark, there's no genealogy at all. Mark writes of the perfect servant. And who wants to know who the great-grandfather of the servant is? You're interested in a strong man, a healthy man, if you want him to be your servant. And Mark does not record the genealogy for us. Luke does record the genealogy, and he goes clear back to Adam. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and the Lord is speaking to the serpent. Adam and Eve are present. Adam and Eve had fallen. Serpent had beguiled them. God speaks to that serpent right there in front of them. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, this is the seed of the woman, the promised seed of the woman. Now God told Satan, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, in Luke's gospel, the genealogy goes clear back to Adam, because Luke is writing of him as the Son of Man, not as the promised king, simply as the Son of Man. And in the gospel, our Lord Jesus refers, in the gospel of Luke, our Lord Jesus refers to himself, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, in John's gospel, there is no genealogy, because God has no genealogy. He is the great I Am. He has always existed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the divine Word. He never had a beginning. God never had a beginning. He is the great I Am. You know, that title, I Am, is so well chosen. I am the greatest fact in the universe. I am. He never had a beginning. He never had a past. You and I are creatures of time. We're the captives of time. We have a past, a present, and a future. We have a past because of our poor memories. We have a present, and we have a future, which is totally unknown to you and to me. But God knows no past, no present, no future. He lives in the eternal presence, present. It was Christ who gave Moses his commission back there in the third chapter of Genesis, and that is interesting too. Because in the third chapter, rather, the third chapter of Exodus, we have already read from the third chapter of Genesis. In the third chapter of Exodus, Moses had fled from the land of Egypt. Pharaoh had threatened to kill him. He sought him to kill him. Moses, on one occasion, went out and saw an Egyptian abusing some of the children of Israel. And in his anger, he slew the Egyptian. Pharaoh heard of it. And although Moses was slated to be the crown prince, Pharaoh was going to kill him. He fled. He fled to the land of Midian and was with Jethro, who gave him his daughter, Moses his daughter for wife. And he was there for 40 years and had quite forgotten his exalted mission. We read in the third chapter of the book of Exodus that Moses was out one day with the sheep, and he saw a burning bush. And he went over to the bush. He was curious as to why it was not consumed. God spoke out of the bush, and he told Moses, I've heard of the trials of my children down in the land of Egypt, and I'm going to send you to deliver them. Verse 10 of that third chapter of Exodus, we read, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee, when thou hast brought forth the people, out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses drags his feet. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me to you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Do you realize who this person is that's speaking? He's none other than our Lord Jesus in his pre-incarnate state. He is God, the second person of the Trinity, and he uses his name here to Moses. I am hath sent me. Now, that's not good grammar, but it's perfect theology. This is a title of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's interesting to me that in the eighth chapter of John's Gospel, and this is going to be the first of the other I Ams, other than the seven that we have studied in times past, this is another I Am that our Lord Jesus Christ uses. Now notice, please, how he uses it, and the accuracy of what he says. The Pharisees are questioning his credentials. They're giving him a hard time. And they say to him in verse 53 of the 8th chapter of John's Gospel, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets that are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. In verse 56 he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now he did not say, before Abraham was, I was. He said, I am. Now this is awkward grammar, but it's perfect theology. He is using his title, and some 25 times in the Gospel according to St. John, Paul uses this title, the I am, and this is what we're going to study in a few broadcasts to come. They're thrilling as far as I am concerned, and I trust that I shall make them so interesting that our appreciation for the Lord Jesus will be greatly enhanced when we realize who he really is. He is the great I am that lives in the eternal present. The one who came down into this world and became incarnate. God manifest in human flesh for a very wonderful reason. You see, you and I had sinned, and God must punish sin. But God did not want to punish you and me. So he sent his Son, and he became a man so that he could die. God cannot die. But as a man, Christ could die and answer the claims of God against you and me. We read in the Scripture, the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve, eternal separation from God. And God sent his Son into this world as a man to die for you and for me on that cross at Calvary. And he died. He received the stroke of judgment that was our due. He died for you and for me. He was the great I am. That is true. But he became a man, and they could not realize who he was. He was so thoroughly a man, so human, so warm, so real, they couldn't get past his humanity and see who he really was. But in this series of studies, when these 25 times, when he uses his title, I am, we're going to see who he is. We hope that you continue with us. Our Father, today we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that your Spirit will help us develop this wonderful subject that we might appreciate Christ more and more. In his name we pray. Amen.